listening to Richie Allen on the UK's biggest independent news radio show. Have your say by tweeting at Richie Allen Show now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Nina Maria Potts for the latest world news. Joe Biden has been certified as America's next US president after Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building. The revolt came after President Donald Trump addressed a large crowd in Washington, D.C., ordering them to show strength. As a result, four people have been confirmed dead, including a woman who was shot in the chest after the mayhem had been contained by armed police. U.S. lawmakers reconvened. The result, Vice President Mike Pence confirmed, was a win for Biden, who will now take office from January the 20th.
The announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January 2021.
Meanwhile, senior Democrats have written to the vice president calling for Donald Trump to be removed from power. Sarah Walton reports.
Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee say the vice president should use the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which allows for power to be transferred to him from the president if the commander-in-chief is unfit to govern. The letter says Donald Trump's actions on Wednesday stoked an act of insurrection and sought to undermine democracy. Before the attack on Congress, the president urged his supporters to fight against the election of Joe Biden and later released a video directed at rioters inside the Capitol building saying, "We love you." But Trump's removal from power would need to be approved by Congress, and the president has just 2 weeks left until his term ends. Sarah Walton, New York.
International reaction poured in, condemning the violence in the United States. European leaders have called for democracy to be respected amid condemnation of the scenes on Capitol Hill. Lucy Hoff has more from Brussels.
Europe watched the storming of the US Capitol with horror, with leaders across the continent calling for a peaceful transition of power. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg described the images as shocking and said the outcome of the democratic election must be respected. The Foreign Minister of France, Jean-Yves Le Drian, described events as a grave attack against democracy. Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, said he believed Joe Biden's presidency would survive this period of tension and unite the American people. Lucy Hoff, Brussels.
The coronavirus vaccine produced by Oxford University and AstraZeneca is now being rolled out by family doctors in England. It comes after many doctors have claimed that the National Health Service would not be able to cope if the hospital admission rate continues to climb. Several countries are struggling to roll out their vaccination programs. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Nina Maria. How are you doing? Thursday's Richie Allen Show, January 7th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Welcome. Piers Corbyn will join me this hour, and I do mean it this time. Piers will be live from his office in about 20 minutes' time. And Mark Boyarsky, a great friend of mine and of this program's, will join me live from Spain in the second hour, and you do not want to miss what he has to tell you. He told me about it the other day. It's to do with healing in the time of COVID and COVID vaccines. Don't miss Mark Boyarsky a little bit later on. All right then. Yes, it feels like I've been back for months, but it's only really the first week back after the Christmas break, but it feels like I've been back for months. Are we fucked? Is my question. I've asked the question today rhetorically on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @1@1RichieAllen. Rhetorical, are we? Is there any hope for us? We will see. Okay, now, very quickly, I'm amazed at the reaction to last night's events in DC. I'm astounded, really. And before I even get started, I promise you, I'll be very, very brief. Oh, thank God, Richie. No, I will. I'll be brief. I've actually dreamt for years. No exaggeration. I've been dreaming for years of a day when tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people would march to the Dáil, the Irish Parliament in Dublin, to Westminster, to Downing Street, and to peacefully remove every politician, every whoring corporate lobbyist, peacefully, and tell them all to go home. Okay? That's been my dream. But that everybody going on that march to liberate us from filthy politicians, corporations and banks and central banks and European unions, everybody before setting out would first of all divest themselves of their political allegiances and their political ideologies. That before setting out on that road, you would truly understand that the left-right paradigm is a prison construct that has kept us enslaved for hundreds of years. Be done with identity politics. Cast it to one side. You're not a conservative. You're not a liberal. You're not a socialist. You're not an anarcho-capitalist. You're not Black Lives Matter. You're not LGBT. You're not Extinction Rebellion. You're not black. You're not white. You're not pink. You're not green. You're not yellow. You're a human being. We're one, even if we're not the same. The tragedy of those idiots storming the Capitol building yesterday in Washington, D.C., storming Congress, the tragedy of it is that those men and women are labouring under the illusion that Donald Trump is some messiah, some warrior of the light against the deep state. And it is monumental bollocks that's off the scale or the chart of monumental bollocks. Donald Trump is a deep state project. You know this. The same corporations, the same banks, the same filthy lobbyists, the same elites who put Obama in Pennsylvania Avenue, who put baby Bush in there, bastard Bill Clinton and his horrible wife, George H.W. Bush, the man who oversaw the murder of JFK. Those same elites put Donald in the White House, and now they've put creepy Joe Biden in there. It doesn't matter a damn. But some of you are condemned never to learn. It can't be stubbornness. You must know now. I mean, you had good reason to despise Hillary. What a monster. What a truly vile, evil manifestation Hillary Clinton is, right? You'll get no argument from me. But it's not enough anymore to keep denying the truth about Trump because you hate the Clintons and you hate Obama, whether you have good reason or not to hate the aforementioned. When will you wake up to the truth? That they're all the same, these people, all of them. Here in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, in France, in Germany, in Israel, in Greece, they dance to the tune of the puppet master, every single one of them. How sad that a bunch of obtuse, obstinate, obdurate goons rock up to the Capitol, rock up to Congress. How terribly sad that they went there not to dismantle a symbol of the apparatus that enslaves them. No, but to prevent their hero, another puppet, from being deposed. How terribly, terribly tragic. And the wheel turns. Order out of chaos. And all of that. Oh, I dream of it. When enough people, and by people, I don't mean skinheaded scumbags or football hooligans, but men, women, children, grannies and granddads say enough is e-fucking-nough. Be gone to this political class, this corporate class, this banking class, and divest themselves of the labels they willingly accept it. Liberal, conservative, etc., etc. Jump out of the pigeonhole they put you in when you were born and be born again. And of course, the inevitable question that follows is, replace it with what, you big baldy gammon? I don't know. Native Americans, tribes in the Andes, tribes in other parts of the world, in Australasia, get on. Manage to live their lives without relentless authority figures micromanaging their lives. Elders mediate when arbitration is needed. Could we do that? I don't know. That's the big fear that people have. What's coming next? I'm a journalist. Not for me to have the answers. I've loads of questions. There are lots of very senior men and women in this country and in Ireland that seem to be level-headed, that seem to be nice, that seem to be non-fascistic. Jonathan Sumption, Michael Mansfield, to name two here. I don't know how you would do it. But you've got to get away from believing in the notion that one of two men or one of a man or a woman given to you by the establishment to vote on, that one or both of them or one of them will make your life immeasurably better, will make things good again and prosperous. You know better than this now. And I'd like to point out, I've never been one for saying I told you so, but back in October before the election, I said at least a dozen times, check the Richie Allen radio show late October, I said if I was pulling the strings, I would throw the election to Biden and make it look like Trump was hard done by and watch things burn. I said it. Said it at least a dozen times. Doesn't mean I'm right or I was right, but that's what I said. Clap for Heroes returns to the UK tonight at 8 o'clock. Clap for Heroes. I just thought I'd point out to you, if you are going out tonight at 8 o'clock to clap your hands or to jazz hands or to bang your pots and pans, you'll never need a fucking lobotomy. At least there's that. You'll never need a lobotomy. Don't procreate. If you feel like clapping tonight on your doorstep in sub-zero temperatures, have the snip. And don't worry about it, you'll never need a lobotomy. Right. I can see a day in the near future where criticism of the NHS or making a statement contrary to some statement put out by the NHS will be an offence. It'll become blasphemous to criticise the NHS or to reject some decree from the sacred NHS. Like when the NHS says we're swamped. You might see some data that says, well, they're not really swamped. You won't be allowed to talk about that. That'll be punishable. Here's a couple of extraordinary changes on Radio 5 Live this morning. But first of all, talk radio. Julia Hartley Brewer was interviewing Chris Hobson. He's the CEO of NHS Providers. She presented a report from The Lancet and a data set from NHS England showing that things are nowhere near as bad in hospitals as we are being told. Well, Chris Hobson from NHS Providers, he didn't like it. He compared people who say these things to people who don't believe in the moon landings or that the earth is flat or that Elvis is alive. She got the hump, did Brewer. He said she was peddling disinformation. She said, you've libeled me. Somebody needs to educate Julia Hartley Brewer on libel. He said it to her face on her radio show where she can throw down and fight back. Can't be libel. Anyway, we're going to hear a bit of it. We'll skip on. The spat isn't interesting. They calmed down, sort of. And then this is where it's all going.
Most of what you just said was basically comparing someone questioning official claims of the crisis, someone questioning lockdown policy as the equivalent of claiming that, you know, Elvis is living on the moon. I'm sorry, I find that offensive.
Well, sorry, Julia, I wanted you to know that lots of people, the trust leaders that we represent, are finding the activities of anti-lockdown ideologues who are going around and filming in hospital corridors.
I would never endorse that.
Basically show, and I'm not saying you're doing that, I'm just saying
that
you are effectively trying to pretend.
What's that got to do with you accusing me of peddling disinformation?
Yeah, and Julia, because I'm wanting to say to you that trust leaders that we represent and
yes.
others are effectively saying that there is now a real danger that people who are challenging what is going on in terms of, for example, the lockdown,
yeah.
Are risking the ability to reduce the number of cases.
Wait a minute. So me, in a free democracy, we've still got some semblance of freedom of speech left.
Absolutely.
Me questioning government policy, questioning whether it's the right policy when it's been proven, even in reports published in The Lancet. I think you assume that you'd agree that The Lancet is a reputable publication, a peer-reviewed showing a document showing that actually there is no correlation between lockdowns and cuts in mortality per capita in across the world. Even questioning that, that is somehow causing the NHS to be overwhelmed and more people to die. How dare you question people's right to freedom of speech?
I am saying that informed, evidence-based dissent is absolutely unquestioning and holding people to
freedom. I've cited a document in Lancet, and I've cited PHE, Public Health England statistics, and you're accusing me of peddling disinformation. Who the hell do you think you are?
Julia, can I get a word in edgeways? Can I respond?
Yeah, go on. Why don't you libel me again? Go on.
Thank you. Informed, educated, evidence-based dissent and scrutiny.
Which is what we do here.
Is, of course, really important. All I'm saying is that we are in the middle of a global pandemic, and it's really important that everybody who has a position of authority, like you do, and who commands respect on the airwaves, effectively does not use that position to effectively put across distortions and disinformation.
I've never done that. If you'd like to put in a formal complaint to Ofcom, you are entirely entitled to do so.
Imagine this is where it has come down to. Basically, think back to Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor around about 2003, the beginning of what we know as the Iraq War, but what we should really refer to as the Iraq Genocide. Bill O'Reilly used to say, if you can't support the troops, shut up. Shut up. This guy is saying to Julia Hartley Brewer, this guy from NHS Providers, this Hobson guy, you may speak about what's going on in the NHS under the terms that we provide you to speak about those things. But outside of that, you're basically to shut the hell up and support the NHS. Staggering stuff. Over on Radio 5 Live, same time, their regular guest, Zudin Sifichiri, he's an intensive care doctor at the Royal London Hospital. He was complaining about disinformation and COVID deniers. Nikki Campbell asked him, should we stop letting them on? Here was the answer from the intensive care doctor.
We have a responsibility to society as doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals, and I kind of wish that the media would have it take a turn and have its responsibility. And if you're going to put a COVID denier up on the media, perhaps you might put one of us up too to talk to them about facts.
Well, yeah, and that of course suggests equivalence, and that's always the problem in that situation. What about people who say, and surely it's a legitimate argument to say...
That's an astonishing thing Nikki Campbell just said. The intensive care doctor said, if you're going to put a COVID denier on the air, at least give us a chance to come on as well. Now, the irony in that statement is that Radio 5 Live never, ever, 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 ever interviewed a great Barrington scientist or academic, never, and put them on the air to explain why they believe lockdown is a terrible idea. That's the great irony. It doesn't do it anyway. But this guy is saying, if you're going to bring somebody on, you should bring us on as well. When in reality, it's only pro-lockdown doctors coming on. And Campbell, that weaseling little fucking toad, Nikki Campbell, about the worst broadcaster in the UK after James O'Brien. He said, by putting somebody up to say that lockdown is a bad thing, that implies equivalence with the likes of you. But the last time I looked, Suchirit Bhakti, Dolores Cahill, Martin Kuldor from Harvard University, Carl Hennigan from Oxford, the last time I fucking looked, they've got the same fucking qualifications or better than the doctors wheeled out every second of the day to tell us that lockdown is good. Shocking stuff, this. Masquerading as journalism.
Lockdown kills. Lockdown doesn't work. Lockdown has a massive effect on people's mental health. We shouldn't be locked down. That's not a COVID denialist. That's a legitimate argument, isn't it? Or not?
Well,
or not, says Campbell.
So lockdown doesn't work. That's a great statement, because yes, lockdown doesn't work if you don't follow the rules, because then it's not a lockdown. And that's what we saw in the first lockdown. That's what we saw in the second lockdown. So perhaps if people followed lockdown rules, lockdown might work. The second thing is, lockdown has worked every single time at reducing the burden of critically ill patients and really sick people coming to the wards. It cuts by 30% so quickly. Lockdown works. That's what the actual data shows. That's what the lives saved shows. As for the economy, a dead person can't work.
Dead person can't work.
That's the bottom line. If you survive coronavirus, you've been really critically ill, you might not make it back to work for 3 to 5 years. So lockdown is central to for this country to survive the pandemic, but also for the country to heal from the pandemic.
You did catch that, didn't you?
If you survive coronavirus, you've been really critically ill, you might not make it back to work for 3 to 5 years.
And at that point, Nikki Campbell said thanks for coming on and ended the interview. I swear to God, if you don't believe me, go to BBC Sounds, 7:35 a.m. this morning, BBC Radio 5 Live. He said, if you have serious coronavirus, it could be 3 to 5 years before you go back to work. That is monumental fucking bollocks. And that useless moron, Nikki Campbell, sat there and allowed him spout that bullshit. Bullshit. And then said goodbye. Bringing on somebody who challenges lockdown, that implies equivalence, said Nikki Campbell. It's left to people like me to do that. Jesus Christ. Labour Deputy Leader Angela Rayner was on Sky Breakfast this morning. She was asked about Labour's plans to help with the vaccine rollout. Listen up.
Mr. Rayner, let's talk vaccination. Everyone wants one. Everyone wants one as soon as possible. The Labour Party teaming up with the TUC and the Daily Mirror to launch a Let's Vaccinate Britain campaign. Tell us.
Well, last year was horrendous for all of us across the globe and the UK. And I think with the absolute brilliance of our scientists, having this vaccine is such a welcome relief. And we want to, you know, launch our campaign today about getting vaccinations for Britain and making sure that we roll out that process and we help the government in making sure, and the national effort in making sure that that happens. Because we've seen in the past, whether that's through the test, track and trace system or the PPE, the equipment and the professional support that's required, that's been lacking from the government. So we want to make sure that we do everything we can and that the whole Labour and trade union movement gets behind the national effort to roll out this vaccine, because we know that's good for to help our NHS, but it's also crucial for our economy as well.
Sure. So in addition to asking TUC members...
Wait till you hear this. Wait until you hear what the Labour Party is doing. Apparently, it's giving its own social media accounts over to NHS people to promote the vaccine.
Members of the Labour Party to help out. The Labour Party also trying to engage with some of the disinformation out there. Social media platforms possessed by Labour are going to be handed over to healthcare professionals.
Social media channels possessed by the Labour Party will be given over to healthcare professionals to combat so-called disinformation about the vaccine.
That's right, yeah, because we want to tackle the anti-vaccine disinformation, because we're very worried about that. I mean, this vaccine will protect our most vulnerable.
How does she know that? Who the fuck is Angela Rayner, the deputy leader of the Labour Party? A wretched fucking harlot who stands in Parliament and calls people scum when she disagrees with them, rather than engage them, as she did to a Conservative Party MP some weeks ago. What the fuck does Angela Rayner know about vaccines? Or what is contained within those vaccines? And what they might or might not do to people's health if people ingest said vaccines? What does she know about it? Nothing is the answer.
This is a way out of this pandemic and this crisis that we faced, and gives us that opportunity to have some level of normality back. And so therefore it's really important that people take up that vaccine, and I will do that as soon as
you can stick your fucking vaccine up the highest part of your hairy fucking hole, because neither I nor anybody I know will go near the fucking thing. And when you ask me why, I say because of people like Sucharit Bhakti and Dolores Cahill, They are qualified up to the tits, these people, to discuss these things. Qualified up to the tits. They're no less qualified than the puppets that go on BBC Radio 5 and tell you the vaccine is okay. Now, I don't know for a fact that Sucharit Bhakti or Dolores Cahill are right. I can't say that because I'm a very, very good and very responsible journalist. But why take a fucking chance is the question. Why would you take a chance? Who would take a chance? You'd have to be fucking mad to take a chance, wouldn't you? Welcome to Thursday's Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in the northwest of the UK. Piers Corbyn will be with me in a moment. If he isn't, I'll have him fucking shot. Back in 2 minutes.
Looking back on the track for a little green back. Got to find just a gun or losing my mind. Outside in the night, outside in the day. Looking back on the track, gonna do it my way.
Right, the George Baker selection on the Richie Allen Radio Show. I can put my rifle away. Piers Corbyn, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
How are you, by the way? I know you've been a bit under the weather in
recent
days.
Well, I was a bit ill yesterday and even the day before, but no, I'm 90% better now.
A lot of stress, mate, lately. A lot of stuff going on.
Yes, indeed, and it's fantastic to be on your show and... thank you for ringing back on the third occasion.
Not a problem, mate. Not a problem. I don't know where to start with you today, to be honest. There's so much to get into. I noticed that just from reading the papers and listening to the UK television and radio programmes, it's talk about vaccines is becoming more and more and more sinister. And I'm wondering,
yes,
just how far do we think the government might go in an effort to ensure that huge numbers of people take the vaccine? How far might the coercion methods go, do you think, do you fear?
Well, I think they will go a very long way. And people have to resist in every possible way because these vaccines, all of them have proven problems, are all mostly, well, not completely tested, and have known, well, dangerous effects such as the infertility of women and, of course, some of them are used for tracking directly and altering your DNA. I mean, they're not vaccines. That's the first thing to understand. A vaccine is meant to be injecting some sort of virus when your body develops an antibody to similar viruses. So it's cowpox and... you've got immunity to smallpox, for example. So this is a different purpose. But as Orwell warned us, George Orwell warned that under these regimes, the meanings of words get changed. So what was imagined to be a good thing, a vaccine, is now not a vaccine, but is still labelled a good thing. And actually a source of... It's not to control a virus, it's to control you.
We had Professor Dolores Cahill, whom I know you've,
yes,
I know you've been involved with protests,
yeah,
with Dolores in recent weeks and months, explaining very well for the layman as I am. I mean, you're not; you're a scientist, but explain very well why she believes the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, might very well be a time bomb inside the immune systems of those who get it, and in future when seasonal coronaviruses come around, it might prime our immune systems to attack our internal organs and do God knows what to it. There is a big story developing. I don't know,
yes,
if you saw this, Piers. The Daily Mail has run a story today about a doctor in Miami called Gregory Michael who died after a catastrophic reaction to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And his wife, God love her, in her grieving, has come out and said that she's absolutely convinced that the vaccine killed him.
Yeah, sure. No, there's a number of cases like this which have to be addressed. You see, it's like the government telling you to fly an aeroplane, a new jet plane that hasn't got airworthiness certificate, and furthermore, the manufacturer doesn't have any liability if you die or get injured. Well, this is insane, but that's what they're asking us to do. So there's another motive here, and it's not to look after your health. It's about control. Now, Bill Gates is a serious megalomaniac madman that believes in world population reduction. And he's also said at times, oh, vaccines will help. Now, how that is to be done under his terms of reference is not...
Just to be the devil's advocate, Piers. When Gates said that, I saw that clip. It appeared that what Gates was saying was, when we vaccinate children in third world countries, those children won't die young. Therefore, the parents won't be having so many children. That's what he alleges that he meant. That he didn't really mean depopulation. In fact, it's what actually happened.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's an ideological justification for things he does. But and I do understand that argument. I mean, that there is it is a fact that more prosperous countries that their reproduction rates are lower. That is true. But at the same time, when the tests were done in Africa, like Guinea-Bissau, then the the death rate of people who had had vaccines, these girls, was 10 times that who hadn't had the vaccines.
Yeah.
And they were dying of various things because their immune systems had been compromised by the vaccines. And that is what is going on. So, you know, the actual consequence of vaccines is part of a depopulation plan. Now, why are they suddenly rushing rather than trying things out is interesting because, as Dolores Cahill says, well, a year's time, a lot of these things that are wrong with these vaccines, in particular mRNA, will come home to roost. And, you know, people will be dying. But, of course, if they've already been vaccinated, it's a bit too late.
I don't think
you can unvaccinate people. That's an interesting idea.
Before we talk about policing, if Dolores is right, and if you're right, and if Dr. Sacharit Bhakti is right, and I have to keep mentioning, when you're talking about Dolores Cahill and Sacharit Bhakti and Martin Kulldorff and others, I'm not sure Martin Kulldorff has said too much about the vaccines, but Sacharit Bhakti has, and he's a renowned epidemiologist. When these people say they're incredibly concerned that the vaccine will do incredible damage, we should take that seriously. And I mean, I know nothing about vaccines, but I would be stupid now to take that vaccine, having heard what these people have to say. Here's my question. If they are right and we see a huge number of very serious adverse events, I'm guessing, Piers, the media will not be able to cover that up. Or do you fear that they will be able to cover it up in the future?
Well, they'll try to cover it up, but I think they won't be able to unless the media has even more crackdowns. You see, take an example. The vaccines that was given to girls in Britain about a year ago, and boys as well, APV. Anyway, a vaccine which has caused...
We're talking about the HPV vaccine, aren't we?
That's the one.
The human papillomavirus one. It comes in the form of Gardasil. Gardasil is the product name. And you've been looking into this, which is really interesting.
Yes, I'll tell you, it was a specific case of the daughter of a campaigner, and she's turned up to our demonstrations, and she went unconscious and stopped breathing and was rushed into hospital. They found they had some internal bleeding that had been going on for some time, slow internal bleeding in her lungs. And anyway, the question was asked by the medics, well, okay, has she had the HPV vaccine? And the answer was yes. So they said immediately, oh my God. And because this vaccine has caused this in a lot of people, a lot of children. Now, of course, what they did then was they tested her for COVID, found she didn't have COVID. Then they tested her again and then said, oh, yes, she's got COVID. Now, of course, these COVID tests are fraud anyway, at least 40% over a rating of deaths, false positives. So what they will do for people like her, they just go on testing until they get a so-called positive result and then declare it's COVID. So, you know, they will cover up. And now I've no doubt whatsoever that the doctors involved in all of this will cover up. But they know what is going on. And, you know, when faced with an individual patient, they have to act. But, you know, they're going to hide this when it is comes to public eye.
It's you know, anybody listening to this in Ireland, if they're listening to this particular programme, what you're saying won't surprise them at all, because
no.
I think thousands, I'm willing to say thousands of girls in Ireland have had their immune systems badly compromised by the Gardasil vaccination, and the Irish government has ignored them. It's done worse than that. Former health ministers, in fact, have actually accused the parents of child abuse for asking questions about why their daughters are so sick. It astonishes me. Piers, nobody has done more than your good self in recent months to draw attention to the fact that there is a large movement of people against the lockdown measures and mandatory vaccines.
Right.
I think you're to be given enormous credit for that. You've been arrested many times and threatened and harassed. I was thinking of you the other morning. I was listening to talk radio and I had LBC on as well. And each station had a couple of current and former Metropolitan Police officers and detectives. And amazingly to me, those detectives and officers were lamenting the fact that they didn't have the powers they needed to stop the COVID rule breakers. And one of them said, and I'm not making this up, I know you know this, one of them said that they should have the powers. If they knock on, for example, they knock on Piers Corbyn's door, if they knock on Richie Allen's door, and they think, not that they know, but they think that we've got four or five people in there, we're planning a meeting or we're listening to some music, They believe they should have the right to break down that door and break it up.
Mm.
What the fuck, excuse my language, Piers, is going on in this country now?
Well, that is fascism. And indeed, I confronted the policeman who arrested me on Saturday for, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, do we live in, is this fascism? He said, no, we haven't got fascism. I said, well, it looks like a police state to me. He said, well, no. And I said, well, this is what police states do, isn't it? This is what happens in fascist countries. It happened in Stalinist Russia. And I have to say the policeman was clearly concerned about the truth of what I was pointing out to him. And, you know, other police I've spoken to are clearly concerned. However, you know, they're recruiting a lot of people into the police who are going to fulfil the jobs of thugs, you know, and we have to resist all of this. Now, the number of people who actually get arrested and thuggerized by the police is actually still very low in terms of the numbers who go on the streets. You know, it's like 0.5% on any demo, or even 1% maybe sometimes. And some of the reasons for the police perceived brutality, well, it is brutality, yes, the police brutality and harassment is, of course, the police want to frighten people away, you know, and make people think, oh, you're bound to get arrested if you go on the streets. Hello, hello, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there?
No, I'm listening. I'm listening intently, my friend, because I can't believe we're talking about this.
It's not me. I don't know what it is.
No, I'm listening.
Anyway.
And you said the policeman that you spoke with was a little bit concerned that he actually began.
Yeah, I would say so.
He began to think, well, what am I doing? Here I've got a gentleman who, listen, you're not old. You're a septuagenarian. No. You're not old. Not these days. But you are. I would consider you to be an elder. I'm 46 years old. And listen, I'm not patronising you. By elder, I mean somebody who's lived his life. You've still got plenty to live. You're a learned man. You're an educated man. I look upon you as an elder. Any policeman should look at himself in the mirror and say, what am I doing? Harassing this man who is, you know, walking down the street or meeting people to discuss the lockdown or whatever the hell. What am I doing? Did I get into policing to be arresting him or to be challenging him? I would hope more policemen would do that. And on that, before we continue about policing, Martin Noakes, who's a great guy, a singer-songwriter and an old friend of mine from London. Martin's somebody I know you've met probably many times on protests, Piers. Martin says, why does Piers believe that honest doctors would lie about the threat of COVID? That's an excellent question. It throws up another 500 questions. Why do you think that is?
Well, on this scientist lie as well. I mean, when I've spoken to them, you know, in certainly in terms of the scientists, they say, well, Piers, you might be right, but, you know, I've got mouths to feed. I have a mortgage to pay. So they will compromise principles. And what we have here is the propaganda from the BBC making the whole population compromise and give away their rights and freedoms and jobs to deal with a fake fear, i.e., a supposed virus. It's a contagion fear. And a high proportion of the population believe it. And they believe that people like me are somehow spreading the virus and causing death. Well, actually, they are the people. The people who are wearing masks are complicit in murder, because the consequences of all this mask wearing and complying with the government is closure of hospitals and the large numbers of people on cancer patients are now on death row, and they're certain to die within months, some of them, or even days, unless these hospitals are reopened. So we need a proper plan to reopen hospitals. And interestingly, those heroes, I would say, like Debbie Hicks, who've been filming empty hospitals and then getting immediately arrested by police visiting her home, gaining entry, the door was open to them because they believed they'd have a sensible conversation, but the door was open and she was handcuffed.
This is really important now. Let's stay with Debbie for a minute. I'm glad you brought Debbie up. I had made a note there today. I have a couple
Debbie
of bullet
Hicks,
points
yes.
here. Because some of our listeners now here and maybe overseas won't know this story. It's an important story.
No.
What exactly was Debbie doing? What was she filming?
She's filming at least one empty hospital, i.e. she went into a hospital, looked around the wards and found some were completely empty, most of them were largely empty. And the story is, of course, the story was, of course, given that, we're all full with COVID patients. Well, it's a lie. They're not full of COVID patients. The number of COVID patients is just the same as the number of flu patients at any during any winter. And the number of patients registered with flu other than COVID is almost zero. So basically, any flu patient is now registered as a COVID.
And can I just endorse that? It's important, again, because there will be people listening to this who will want me to ask you, how do you know that? We do know this because NHS England and the Lancet Journal have stated the very same thing you just stated there. They're not overrun by coronavirus, and things are nowhere are not any worse or much worse than they would be any other winter when respiratory infections tend to fill up hospitals. So I'm not challenging you, because I've been listening to all day long on talk radio, and it's the only radio station that will touch it. NHS England admit this. It's a fact, what you've said.
I do.
The whole thing is a lie, isn't it?
Yeah. And in the great debate campaign that I've launched as a sort of precursor to my standing for London mayor, that would happen in May, or the election would be, in the great debate, we're going to be putting forward, you know, proper plans to reopen the hospitals and actually take more care of very vulnerable people. They've got to be helped straight away, not left to die in the name of a flu, which is insane. Now, helping people includes anybody who does have a flu or a severe flu or is vulnerable to those things. So we're not taking away any support, real support given to people in real need. We're saying you've got to help all people in real dangerous need. And the current NHS is, well, I have to say, it's a Nazified structure. It is not doing that. It is complying with the New World Order doctrine of control, control, control. And if that means people die, then, you know, that's what the New World Order actually wants.
None of these experts that have come on national television here have ever, at least in the last 10 months, they haven't been challenged by any of the presenters to explain why somebody with a respiratory infection is prioritised over somebody who's going to die if they don't get their cancer treatment. Yeah. It's astounding, isn't it, really? I mean, why would you prioritise somebody with a respiratory infection over somebody who, if they don't get the treatment they need for something else, it doesn't have to be cancer, are likely to die too? Yeah, sure. It's really astounding, isn't it?
It is. It is astounding, because any proper doctor would have to do, if there's a shortage of provisions, he would have to do a risk analysis. Well, okay, this one here is the most vulnerable. Well, yeah. Obviously, the cancer or diabetes patient that's expected to die within a week has to be cared for. But no. And old people, you know, who bought in, they say, oh, you want a DNR, a DRN, a do not, sorry, DNR, yeah. Do not resuscitate notice put on them. And, you know, families have been pressed into allowing these type of, it amounts to legalised murder.
Well, we learned, I know you've talked a lot about this, we learned, didn't we, that these DNRs were being assigned to patients without, in some cases, without the approval or even the knowledge of the extended
family.
That's right.
Yeah,
Liverpool care pathway stuff, really, when you think about it. Tell us about running for mayor of London.
We need a new form of health service which is accountable. You know, currently we've got a kind of top-down thing which has got more top-down, not less top-down, and the people on top of it, the very top, are carrying out an agenda which is backed 100% by Bill Gates and the mega corporation vaccine industry. I mean, that is the money, you see. There's not money on handing out simple cures for people who've got respiratory infections, such as hydrochloroquine and zinc. Yeah. Or even if you haven't got that, just drink loads of tonic water and eat, anything containing zinc, such as pumpkin seeds, you know. All these things are possible, but they are denied because there's money in the other operation, as well as power for the new normal, as they call it here, or the new world order, as it is turning into.
Piers
so
Corbyn,
people have to resist.
Resist it, yeah.
Defy and do not comply.
Well, let's talk about that resisting of it. Piers Corbyn is our guest.
Yeah.
I recommend you go to stopnewnormal.net. That's stopnewnormal.net. You'll also find Piers at weatheraction.com. Do check those websites out, stopnewnormal.net. Look, you're a very smart man. There's no point in me patronising you. You know, there isn't. You know that the chances of you succeeding and winning the mayorship of London is, you know, slim to none. Why do it? What do you think you might be able to achieve?
Well, actually, people I've talked about it say it's not slim to none. It is, in fact, possible. The reason being that people have lost faith in both political parties. They want their jobs back and they want life back, and they're not being offered that. Whereas what we're saying is a perfectly tenable solution. We're saying you end all the lockdowns and COVID con measures now, put people back to work and spend more on all those people who are very vulnerable, including what are described as COVID victims. Now, what could possibly be wrong with that? And we're challenging debate on that.
Well, no, I think it's great. Listen, if I had three wishes, if a genie popped out and gave me a couple of wishes, I'd be happy to lend you one of those wishes. And listen, I think you'd probably get a significant vote, I think, far more than you might otherwise be expected to get, because people are sick to death of lockdown, and it's a very good single issue to be campaigning on. I mean, sure. I hope...
Now, I think the likely consequence of me standing, and of course the lockdown itself, is they'll try and postpone the elections. Well, okay, this does prove a certain point. Let us see what they do.
Yeah.
We don't know that for sure, but there's rumours around they'll postpone them. But see, already Sadiq Khan has had a year free extension and is just doing more to damage the London economy. I mean, he's been calling for greater lockdowns than Boris has come forward with, even more attacks on the London economy, and he wants to put up the congestion zone charge even more. Well, this is madness. I mean, it's like an empty city anyway. There's hardly anybody driving around. He's going to charge them even more for driving around. What is this about? And he's blocking off roads all over the place for no reason whatsoever. And that is causing damage to local small businesses and congesting high streets over the top. And people on corner shops and the smaller roads are just losing complete business altogether. I mean, it's completely wrong.
You're a 73-year-old, incredibly experienced man, former politician, former councillor. You're a scientist. You're a physics graduate, prestigious universities. You're a meteorologist. Can you believe, I think I've asked you this before, do you have moments at home when you're doing your business, you might be making a cup of tea, when you say to yourself, what the hell is going on? Am I dreaming this?
You're not. Well, that's what I do. I do think sometimes. I think, well, you know. Well, I've been saying for some time, yesterday's conspiracy theory is today's truth. And, you know, it's just something I said that I hoped wouldn't be true, but I thought it was true, and that is the case. I mean, you know, 9 months ago we were saying Bill Gates intends to vaccinate the world and billions of money will be made out of this scheme, and newspapers said this is mad conspiracy theory, Mr. Corbyn, but now we know it's completely true. Bill Gates says it on TV.
Do you know one of the things that we've got to keep mentioning? When Piers Corbyn has been on talk radio and other commercial radio stations, he gets vilified in the Daily Mail and he gets vilified in the Guardian for naming Bill Gates. Now, let's be honest about it. They hammer you for mentioning Gates. I can say this. This is not conjecture. This is the truth. This is Bill Gates' vaccine agenda. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't somebody else behind Gates, but Gates, through CEPI, through Gavi, through his funding of the World Health Organization, through his funding of every academic institution on these islands, it is Bill Gates' agenda. It's not bloody conspiracy theory. He's all over it, Piers, right?
Absolutely. You know, and well, as a former graduate of Imperial College, and I did research there, it's a disgrace that they're falling over themselves to just take money and propagate nonsense as a consequence. I mean, it's not every department in Imperial, but it dominates, you know, the image of Imperial. All this medical stuff is central to what they're doing now.
Here's a question right out of left field. It'll make you giggle. Are you or were you at any time a Freemason, Mr. Corbyn?
No, never. I was actively campaigning against Freemasonry in Imperial College before I got elected as student union president a long time ago, namely in 1969 to 1970. And the powers that be were very much against me getting elected. However, I did get elected against all expectations, I have to say. I mean, most people never thought I would make it at all, but I did get 40% more votes than my nearest rival, which astounded everybody. Now, you know, it's because the message got through and people realised that they wanted something different. Now, this could happen in the London elections. which could mean a factor into why they might try and postpone them. But, you know, if they try and postpone them, we'd press on anyway.
Quick question, Ree. Thanks for answering that question about Freemason. It's funny, the Freemason thing. I was accused. I find it a funny term, accused of being a Freemason. I'm obviously not a Freemason either. But I do know, what I have known over the years, I don't know now, but I used to know one or two guys in business who were in the Masons. And I tried to explain to people on the programme, some chap who is, you know, he's got a business, he's got a hotel or a pub and he's in the Masons, it doesn't mean that he's part of any overarching conspiracy. There are millions of levels to these organisations. I'm sure at the top,
of course, yeah,
at the top,
true.
It's very sinister. I have no doubt in my mind it is. But, you know, I was asked by a hotelier some years ago when I was thinking about getting into the pub business in England, and a hotelier said to me, Richie, I'll propose you for the Masons. He said, because it'll do you no harm, you know, glad handing, get to know people. But nothing ever came of that. But somebody said to me today on Twitter, don't interview that Corbyn anymore. He's in the Masons. So I said I'd
Yeah, well, I'd it's a lie. These sort of lies are spread around by, people who are supporting the New World Order in some shape or form.
Yeah.
You know, they're just lies.
Fair enough.
Smear campaign. I mean, it's a bit like my brother being accused of being anti-Semitic. I mean,
ridiculous,
it's the most false claim, you know, ever made this side of the moon.
And it's a pity that you couldn't have...
It was repeated and repeated.
And the more it was repeated, of course, the more people believe it. But I still say to this day, it's a pity that you couldn't have possessed his body when he was being interviewed by Andrew Neil, because I think you'd have done a better job of defending Jeremy than Jeremy did. And that's not to be critical of him. Before we... Because we're going to run out of time in 5 minutes. I've been asked to ask you about property prices. Now, we know about Klaus Schwab and we know about the Great Reset in the World Economic Forum, and they talk about people never having anything in the future, not having any possessions and being happy to have nothing. I've been asked about property prices. Will property prices be manipulated in the coming months and years? People are worried about that.
Oh, I'm sure they will be. You see, what the New World Order want is total control. And the way to do it, they want to get everybody on a universal basic benefit, they say. Now, this is not a benefit, it's a system of control, because they can say, oh dear me, you haven't had the vaccine, we're going to turn you off. Your children haven't done this or that, we'll turn you off. What I say we need is people having independent means, i.e. They can work and get a job and earn money, not have to depend on state apparatchiks which will control them. So what about property and so forth? Well, the New World Order wants to take control of everything. So they want land and they want property and they want resources. So that's why we've had this big argument about fish in England over the EU, right? And the concession is pathetic, you know, having 25% more fish in the next 5 years. I mean, that's just nonsense. We should have it all back. But you see, the EU and the New World Order are part and parcel of the same project. So I would say to people, hang on to property. They'll do all sorts of things to put prices up or down, put people in negative equity, who knows? But hang on to property and land and actual resources. Maybe gold, silver, I don't know. But those things have been manipulated. Bitcoin and the like, I think they're all part of a general scheme of things to control you from outside.
I like that you said that. When Bitcoin kind of, when we first began to hear about it, I was very sceptical about it, thinking that it's just another form of cashless. And the idea that the establishment,
of course,
you know, of course it's easy for them. Getting rid of cash, Piers. I think the very first time we spoke, going back a few years,
absolutely,
you talked about the cashless society and what that would mean for people's independence. You know, you've been on the ball for years, mate. A lot of love for you on Twitter. Twitter have basically screwed you, haven't they? They've.
Oh, yeah. I try and turn it on and it says, click this button. You click this button, nothing happens. And then it says, you've clicked too many times. You can't have another click. I mean, it's just mad. It's they put me in a loop of termination. I'm trying to find a way around it, but of course, you know, they're just playing games.
Yeah, it's interesting. On today of all days, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Donald Trump must be thinking, after all I did for Jewish people and for Zionists, Facebook have booted Trump off indefinitely, as have Twitter. Folks, go to stopnewnormal.net, go to weatheraction.com, and if you can support Piers Corbyn, if you've got a couple of bob spare, I recommend that you help him out for, you know, for printing materials, for costs that are vital. Yeah.
Or buy forecasts, it's all cash flowing around, which is very useful.
Good stuff. Is there anything you want to promote that might be coming up that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I think now we've got this new lockdown, people have to focus clearly on how we're going to move forward. Because every step they make is designed just to inch forward to basically a new fascism. So we've got to break their lockdown measures wherever we can. And that means campaigning against masking. And you can get special little cards that we issue via stopnewnormal.net, which says I am exempt and gives the reasons. As long as you can say, honestly, you don't like to wear these things and make you feel not well, then that's it. You don't have to. Now, they might change these rules, who knows? But they're a symbol of submission, and that's why they use them, only that. They don't work. Because they don't even stop anything as small as a virus. So find those things. But the other thing is support actual businesses which are resisting. Support those shopkeepers campaigning against road closures, you know, in practical terms. So, you know, stop these road closures. 5G masks are also part of the whole control operation. Though they have dangers too, but those ought to be opposed where you can. And I think the vaccine thing right now is top of the agenda. So when they're opening up vax posts, go there, hand out leaflets or talk to people and say, this is dangerous, this is untested, don't do it.
Great.
You'll find there will be response. There will be response, and you'll get driven away by the police. So you do it in a flash mob way, but we have to actually break the imposition of the new world order.
Brilliant.
And if we don't do this, we're going to be doomed.
We'll regret it for the rest of our lives. And I do recommend people go to VernonColeman.com and print off those ready-made leaflets that are on there. And if you get some time, post them in people's letterboxes. StopNewNormal.net. You're welcome back here anytime, my friend. You know that. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Thank you.
And look after your health now. Mind yourself.
Okay.
Cheers, Piers.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now. Our friend Piers Corbyn, live on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Thursday, January 7th, 2021. I still haven't made the faux pas. I haven't made the mistake yet and called it 2020. There's still plenty of time, though. Mark Boyarsky has said hello. That's great. He's in the green room, or the virtual green room, anyway. I am Richie Allen. This is the Richie Allen Show. It is live Monday to Friday, Monday to Thursday at 5 o'clock UK time. That's right. And Friday's at 3, although there is a change tomorrow. I'll tell you about that a bit later on. I've got some website business to attend to tomorrow. I'll tell you all about that as well. RichieAllen.co.uk will transform into a brand new website by around about Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest next week, finally. And it's going to look lovely, all singing, all dancing. Lots of very interesting features on there as well, we think. With thanks, of course, to my friend Hayden Hewitt for his help in that. So while we get Mark Boyarsky on, can't wait to chat with Mark. Do check out his website, markboyarsky.com. It's music from the Duke, the one and only Duke, that is David Bowie.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. I mean, in dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Wanna be a richer man?
David Bowie, it's a biscuit, it's a bar. That'll mean something to some Irish people, I think. It's 5 minutes past six. It is the one and only Richie Allen radio show, he says, rather arrogantly. Live from Salford, a freezing cold Salford. Freezing cold, perishing, as we say in the old country. It's perishing out. I'm delighted to welcome back to the programme a great friend of mine, an incredibly generous soul who's done an enormous amount of good for people in my personal inner circle. And I'm not talking about a lot of people now. I've seen up close and personal how he's helped people over the years. He is an international speaker, an author of some terrific books, by the way, a spiritual teacher, and he founded the Pure Energy Healing Academy. And I'm dead jealous of him today because he's in Spain and we're freezing the brass knockers off ourselves here in the northwest of the UK. Welcome back, Mark Bajerski. Welcome back, Mark.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing to be back on, Richie. I've got my Barry's tea just coming now. I've got my three maids massaging and my feet. So everything's great here.
Marvellous. Hey, tell me.
I've got a leak.
You've got a leak?
Got a downpour of rain, so don't be too jealous, because tomorrow it's a 5, which is an alert, which means that all Spain needs to be careful because it's going to rain so much. So it's not so glorious here at the moment.
Yeah, when it rains there, it does rain. I remember one Christmas, I think it was Christmas 2008, we ended up ferrying customers from Caroline's Bar up the hills of Manilva in a banger of a Ford Fiesta, which I owned, because their cars were stopping on the roads. There was 3-4 feet of water on the highway. So you're right, Mark. Yeah, it can get bad there. Welcome back. Before we talk about the email you sent to me the other day, which is incredibly concerning and very, very important that people hear what it is that you have to say about that. How have you been since we last spoke? I know we're in touch anyway on social media, and I keep an eye on what you're doing. Your YouTube channel is brilliant. Folks should go and find Mark on YouTube and subscribe. You get daily messages there. You get daily healing sessions. It's great stuff. It's beautiful stuff. How has it been for you there? Give us a Spanish feel for the lockdown measures and, you know, the seemingly never-ending misery of it. How are people coping with it there?
You've got two very, very separate types of mindset in Spain at the moment. One, which is very, very rigid, that eats and breathes and bows to the MSM and the government. And then you've got this other side of open-mind thinkers who are saying, hey, this doesn't make sense. So you've got two separate types of people, which is probably everywhere in the world, Richard. But the thing with this is right now is that those that believe there's something wrong are in both groups, of course, because the open-minded people know that there's something wrong. But even the other group that believe and eat everything knows there's something wrong. Even though there's something wrong, you could punish them. You could beat them till they're on the floor, and they would still have hope that their government are there to protect them and love them and take care of them. Whatever that programming is, you have to take your hat off to the genius who created this, because it almost seems as though you can take their soul and they would still believe in MSM and their government. So I get everywhere around the world where I've been so far, certain countries are more open to the fact that they want to just get on with life and they don't take that the mask is as serious. But we have, like everywhere, there are mask police. And what we're doing is we're policing each other, and it's eerily scary. And it brings back memories of films that I watched in the Second World War, where the children were running and telling the SS about their parents and what they were doing and saying. And it really feels like that right now. But I want to say something, Richie. I think that through these months that we've all been through, I personally have seen around me that people have aged between 2 and 5 years in their facial features because of the stress that they're all going through. And it's something that I observed a while ago, and I could see within all of us. And it isn't just the fact that people are oblivious to what's going on, but also the people who are. So it's a general energy that everybody is feeling older, faster. Now, that is because of the energy of the universe, of this world of ours. We have created an energy around us that is aging us, which is an absolute planned demic. It is fear energy, which ages humanity by 100-fold. So we are getting older physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I know people would say that's impossible, your spirit couldn't age, but you know what? We are feeling the suffering right now. So healers, empaths, mothers and fathers who feel there's something wrong, we are all digesting, we are all living and creating that energy. So it seems that nobody is exempt to this energy, even the most powerful healers. So I want to say to everybody out there, if you think that there's healers out there who are on top form and they're doing amazing and they're influencers and they're sharing all this amazing information to make you stronger and powerful, let me tell you guys, honestly, we are all feeling the impact of the energy of what is being created, whether we realize we're creating it or not.
Fear, depression, melancholy, lethargy, people just sick to death of the measures, the restrictions, the rules. They know the impact it's having on their friends, their neighbors. They worry about their jobs. They worry about their health. All of that creates an energy. See, these are things that I won't dwell on this because I've admitted this before. There was a time some years ago when I wouldn't have bought any of this, and I would have just dismissed it. But I know you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is invisible, of course. You can't see this with the naked eye, but it's there, Mark. I know it's there. I feel it. It's oppressive. It hangs in the air. The air itself feels heavier, doesn't it?
It is heavier. It's, and I'm sure it's proven that way. If you look at some sort of charts that I don't know, the government or NASA or any of these companies,
barometric maybe weather barometric pressure. Yeah,
I mean, I don't need to see a chart to know what I feel when I walk out of that door and when I'm stood around people. I mean, you just need to walk in a shopping center before this happened and you'd be in there 15 minutes and you couldn't cope with that energy. Well, that energy is the same now when you walk out of your front door and walk around. So it's spread from a confined place as a supermarket or a shopping center to actually the whole of the world, because the whole of the world is involved in this plandemic, scamdemic. So we are all generating that energy. And people will probably say, "Yeah, that's rubbish, Mark. I'm really doing well." And I would say, good for you. And please share how you can get stronger and tell us what you're doing, which is making a difference. I work daily meditation. I send crystals to people all over the world as gifts. I help people as much as I can. But as an empath, we feel energy. That's how I work. That's who we are. We feel people. We feel the energy around them, and we absorb it. And that's how we understand energy. And like right now, when I walk out of my door, I feel people as I walk past them. I feel the energy that they are admitting to the world. And I feel it, and I have to feel it. That's my job. And I think, wow, that person is deeply depressed, or that person is in shock, that person is in whatever, grief. And we now know there is more people affected by this plandemic, scamdemic, than what is supposed to be right now, as we all are becoming more and more aware that this is something so dark and so devious that we are now awakening to the fact that it could be something else than what our government is forcing down our throat in a way of, as I see it, a spell, a constant 24-hour spell. It's a voodoo curse happening 24 hours, and people are buying into it. And like any voodoo, anybody who works with voodoo, they know that the only way this works is if you buy into their voodoo.
And you know, there's a real irony there in what you said, because that energy then that's impacting on people, it will result in people becoming ill. And of course, when they become ill, they'll be even more likely to buy into the narrative that there's a terrible virus going around and they need to be vaccinated against it. That's an incredible irony, isn't it? It's a vicious circle, really. That negative fear comes back to you and to everybody around you. There will be more illness in society naturally because of this energy, and that will convince more people that there really is a pandemic or an epidemic and they need help. I mean, that's dreadful when you think of it like that.
It is. And, you know, when you look at it like that, we still have to all step back from it and kind of look at what's going on to be able to make the changes. As a healer, what we do is we start working and we see there's an issue. There may be an illness. There may be an emotional problem within that person. What we start to do is we start to feel that energy and see where the root cause is coming from, what we can do to help that person. And as we start working on their energy, we start to feel, okay, this is where it's coming from. This is the issue. Let's tackle that. But what we've got here is there is no real root cause, because the root cause isn't within you per se.
Yeah, yeah.
It's within a dark element that is, for me, a very dark satanic energy, which is being pumped out into the world. Just like if you ever watched the Twin Towers, Lord of the Rings, the all-seeing eye is watching and sending an energy out to anybody. And it's a dark energy that's continually, so it's hard to get to that, hard to understand it, hard to get to the root cause, because whoever is doing this, it's a one-way mirror. They can see us, but we can't see them. I mean, who actually started all this? Where did it come from? Does it come from a single person, or is it from somebody who has been tarnished, somebody who's been affected by the dark side, and they've now become psychopathic? And there's so many unanswered questions, but we do know, all of us do know, that this is all wrong. We are now living in a world that is not meant to be for us. This is not living. We are no longer free. We do not feel happy. We do not feel at peace. We do not feel free. Therefore, now that we know that we are living in this energy, there's only one answer to be able to fix all of that. And that is, what everybody is looking for now is not the answer. That's the problem. Everybody is looking for a guru, a leader, a president, or a group to stop this. And I think maybe what we're at now is a point where we have to understand that right now is the moment that you personally have to take the great step in believing in your own power. And that is the answer right now. I know it sounds a cliche, but you know what? If you start to become stronger, if you start to become wiser, if you start to become smarter, you will then start to look at what you are putting in your body, how you are using your body, what you are looking at through the eyes, what you are listening through your ears, and then you will make decisions to what works for you and what doesn't. It means you become your personal teacher, you become your personal guru, and then you make the decisions with that power of what you do, what you, where you go, what you spend your money on, and what corporation you will not no longer support. And now I'm looking at where I buy my food from. I buy it from local sourced, beautiful souls like you and me who just need to survive. I will support no longer Amazon. I will no longer support the corporations. I will no longer support governments who are the tyranny of this world. And thus, we create a country within a country. What that means is that you start to grow your own food, you start to create your own land, or you do something that you are not beholden to that country. You start to look for people who have allotments, and you start to buy their food and grow food, and you start to become independent from that darkness that is trying to suppress and trying to control you with all its tactics and all its heavy-handed abuse. Yeah. So this is what we need to do. But the real reason why I came on this show, Richard...
Hey, before we get to that, before we get to the real reason, I can't wait to get into this. It's very important. We're going to talk about the vaccine and we're going to talk about healing. Gail, who's a healer, says, I know exactly what Mark is saying. The air feels heavier and I can feel the sadness and fear around me, even outside in my garden. There's a lot of interest in this. Understandably, on Twitter, people can go to twitter.com and where it says search Twitter, put the number one Richie Allen in, press enter, you'll see what people are saying to me. And you've really got me thinking there. You talked there about allotments. In the UK, most of us in urban areas do have allotments pretty much on our doorsteps. Most of us do anyway. What a wonderful thing you just said there. Why not pop around your allotment and buy your fruit and veg from them rather than go to the supermarket and experience all that negativity? Mark Boyarski is our guest, a great friend of mine, a huge supporter of the independent media, and a great friend to many people, done a lot of great work with people who had no... They didn't think that they had anywhere to go. They couldn't get help through conventional medical channels, and were greatly helped by Mark. And I know this to be an absolute fact. I know this personally. He founded the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He's live on the line to us this evening from Spain. Mark, this email you sent me, it kind of blew me away, really. I was talking to a number of people about it, former guests on the programme, friends of mine, and it was about the vaccine and those who get it and healing and working with people like that and you know, possible difficulties in working with people who've had the vaccine. Tell us more about this. It's really important.
Well, yeah, I mean, this isn't hearsay. It isn't anything that somebody's told me and I've read. This is personal experience. So, Richie, if we start from the beginning and I go back to when I first started this work, I started working alongside a lot of healers, different types, whether they were shamans, whether they were Native Americans, and different healers. And I needed to understand what the art of healing was. I came to understand through my own observations and experiences and learning that healing was energy, and everything is energy. Every thought, every pain, everything that's within your body and around a tree is energy. Every single thing that you see around you vibrates at its own energy, whether it is a rock, whether it is water, or whether you are in pain in your stomach, whether your eye is hurting. All of this is a vibration, is an energy, and they vibrate at subtle different feelings. So what I mean by that is when a client lies down, and I've healed over 10,000 clients in my time as a healer, we get to understand what a feeling is through a vibration that may be not balanced, not vibrating as it should be. So when the whole body vibrates at a very beautiful balance and you're all healthy, mind, body, and spirit, You can feel that vibration on the client as you are healing them. And then when you heal somebody else who may have cancer, who may have an operation in the stomach, or if somebody has been abused, or if somebody has lost somebody and they are holding energy of grief, every single one of those words are a vibration, and they vibrate at a very unique energy. So a healer learns to understand that feeling. So as you place your hands over a client, after 1 hour, you can say to that client, I felt this, I felt healing here, I felt healing there. And they will say, my God, how did you know that? And I say, because you learn to understand energy and you feel it, and then you put it into words. And that is a beautiful thing as a healer. So that's what I teach, and that's what I've learned for 13 solid years every day. Just as a man in a white coat would go into a building and look at a petri dish every day, I did the same thing without a white coat and without a petri dish. I just laid my hands over the client every day, every client, one after the other, and I got to understand the body. Now, for all you guys out there who want to understand what this means, I'll explain in great detail, and it's really simple. Imagine your body as a grid, square grids, okay? So your body is now, as I'm looking at it, is a square grid, one grid after another, thousands of grids all over your fingertips, your hands, your body, your legs, your feet, your eyes, everything is a square grid. Now, at the bottom of that grid on your, say, left toe is a cable. That cable gets plugged into a wall, and your grid now starts to get warm. And it gets warm from where the point starts, where the cable brings the electric in. So all of a sudden, the first square starts to get hot. And then it moves on to the second square, and then four squares, and then eight squares. As a healer, when your hand is over that client, you start to feel this. Now, here's where it gets really, really a little bit frightening for me. What I experienced over the healing sessions when people have had this new thing that's put into their arm, you know what it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to be a bit careful what I say here now, because in Spain, they're coming down really hard on people. But let's just say you know what I'm talking about, what's happening to all the world now. They're all rushing for it in hospitals. What is happening now is this. Imagine your body being a replica of, let's say, a plastic you. Imagine you have been remolded into a plastic you in all perfection. It's been done by a world famous artist who has made you into this plastic mold. Now, imagine that's you, okay? This is the only way I can explain it. After that injection, it's like me throwing you into an open fire. Your plastic body will start to remold. And if I suddenly quickly grab you and pull you out, your body is no longer the same as it was. So the grid all of a sudden starts to now, if you imagine the grid being each one of those grids, each one of those squares is like hair. So your hair is the grid. If I burn your hair, it frizzles up. It cannot go back to where it is. Now, prior to this injection, if I was healing you, the grid was a very strong and powerful, almost like metal. And if the metal just came away slightly, you could put that metal back in place, solder it, and all of a sudden, the connection would carry on. We have now got to the stage where what I'm looking at is the body has turned into a new mold. It's no longer a grid. The grid has been absolutely hijacked. It's been wrecked. It's been ruined. And I cannot bring that back. So let me explain this to you. I was giving a healing session 2 weeks ago to a frontline worker who said, I do not feel myself. This term is being sent to me over 30 times. I don't feel myself anymore, Mark. Can you help? And of course, I don't do healings anymore, but I needed to understand this. So I sat face to face with a client through wherever they are in the world, and it's what I used to do. And we're doing a Skype session, and I'm spent 1 hour sending healing to that person. So they're right in front of me, and I go through the screen, and I'm healing them. It is 100% effective, okay? It works every time. When I'd finished the healing session, for the first time in 13 years, over 10,000 clients, I have never heard the words, I didn't feel a thing. I feel the same, or I feel worse. That sent shivers down my spine, Richie. It has never happened before. Thus, I did two more healing sessions on different people to make sure that it was maybe I've lost my touch, I've done something wrong. Let me try two more people. The same words were said. I feel worse. I don't know what's going on, Mark. And it was like, this is really, really serious, Richie.
When I read the email and that you sent me, and the two further people, they've had this procedure that everybody's talking about done as well.
Yes. I've only worked on the people who've had this new procedure because, well, that was the only thing that's important to me. I don't want anybody to feel bad. I want everybody to feel good. And I am not here to judge or say anything that, you know, this is terrible, this is wrong, without the experience, without understanding it and without knowing it.
And they got nothing from you. And I mean, people very, very close to me over the years have been in pretty bad shape, and you've helped them out remarkably. Well, you wouldn't think it's remarkable being you, but me being the old skeptic, I found it at the time remarkable. They said to you, I'm not feeling a thing, Mark. More importantly now, what did you feel as the empath? What did you feel?
Wow, what a brilliant question, and what a frightening thought to be able to tell you. Richard, how a healer works is this. A healer helps you to heal yourself. We channel an energy which is in the universe that we funnel into a beautiful drip of gold, which enters your body. Your body then ignites this inner flame. It's called a healing inner healer. And once that inner healer starts to work, you start to heal your body. There has been a separation after the injection. Whoever has created this has created it knowing that it separates the physical body from the spiritual soul. So they no longer fit together as they do and heal through the energy that pours through the universe. When you walk out of your door, you self-heal. When you live, you self-heal by the energy which is so subtle that is always feeding you to heal your body. A healer basically is like a magnet to that energy that sucks it in and gives it to you. So you will feel amazing. You'll say, I've never felt like this before. I feel inner peace because we have created that energy 100-fold inside you by channeling it. What's happening now is that channeling and that energy is not entering into the inner healer. So you are not healing yourself. And me personally cannot heal you. Now, I want to tell you something, Richie. I am a healer. My job is to teach people how to heal. Would you think that a healer who has a pure energy healing academy would ever want to say to everybody that actually I can't heal you now. I mean, am I getting anything that in your mind you think I'm gaining from this?
No, I would have said,
money on anything from saying this. I am making myself look like somebody who can no longer heal. So I am doing this out of truth and being transparent and being honest.
Yeah, I would have said in a moment, I would have said it's not the greatest advertisement that you could ever give for yourself, that there isn't anything in it for you. That's I will say this, doing my job, and I obviously, everybody knows that I have all the time in the world for you, and I know that you believe this, and I also know that you might very well be right. And I mentioned the email you sent me to another healer, in fact to two healers, and they said that they understood what you said and they wouldn't be surprised at all. I've just got to say, we're talking about three people here. Of course, I'm not saying you're wrong, how could I? You might be right, but it's three people. You'd want to, and I don't know whether you do want to or whether you will want to investigate it a little bit more maybe, but you know, it's three people for the moment. I've got to say that
was the first three. I've done 31.
Oh, you've done more, have you?
I've done 31, and every single one of them wanted to know when I was starting the healing. What I said to them is, I'll give you healing today. Okay? So then I went through each client and sat for half an hour to 40 minutes and sent healing to that person. And through the day, I was waiting for a message back saying, thank you, I felt it, which is very normal. All the messages are coming back the same. Are you going to send me healing? So this is, I'm up to roughly 31. I didn't write them down, but I think I'm up to 31 to 33. So I'm getting zero positivity through people who are, I mean, I didn't want to send you, I've got message after message, Richie, of people petrified, ringing me up saying, what have I done? People on the front line saying, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? What can I do? What can I do? And I haven't got an answer other than the other night I did a live healing meditation for people who are suffering through this. And I did find myself running over to get a sound therapy bowl. Now, that could be maybe could be the answer, but I don't have that as a 100%. Maybe sound therapy could be the answer, but at this moment, I am absolutely 100% sure in my heart that I don't feel that once that needle has gone in, that you are the same person that is connected to your spirit and your body, physical and spiritual. And I hope to God that I am proven wrong. I swear, if there was a point in my life that I'm wrong, this is what I want to be. I want to be wrong for this.
Well, do you know what, Mark? Do you know what? Whether you're right or wrong, what I know from speaking with you and knowing about you and speaking to other people about you is that this is what you believe. That's all that matters to me. It's what you believe. 31 is a large number. Now, you will know healers, experienced healers that you trust and that you know will be honest and will be upfront with you. Have you asked anybody else? Have they encountered this? Have they come across this? And if so, what have you heard?
A lot of people are very silent at the moment, Richard, because they're frightened. They're frightened of saying anything. And I've got to be honest, I understand that. I completely get it. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to lose their clients. They have to put food on the table. So they're not going to turn around and say that because, you know, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. I'm at a position there where, you know, it doesn't worry me, but it wouldn't anyway, because if I saw a guy with a hammer who came into my house and, you know, hit me across the head with it and then walk out of the house and go across to my neighbor's family's house with children, what do I do? Do I just leave it and pray and meditate? Or do I go across and say, hey guys, this guy has got a hammer? So what I'm seeing is people becoming ill. So what do I do? Do I say nothing? I try to
I totally understand that. You've got to speak out about it. Of course you do. Absolutely right.
telling me that I can't. My government is saying, don't you dare speak, and we're going to put you in prison if you do. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop me from just speaking my truth.
Why is it so bad in Spain? I don't understand this. Having lived in Spain myself and, you know, being a student of history, I know how, you know, suspicious Spanish people have been, rightly so, about authority. You and I know all about Franco. We know about the Guardia Civil. The Spanish are rebellious in nature. They tend to ignore authority. But Jesus, they're bending down to this big time, aren't they, the Spanish, Mark?
It's really bad. It's really bad here. It really is. I mean, I've told you before, I've been fined 500 euros by one policeman who seemed as if he'd got the devil and a demon inside him. He was like, I've never seen anything in my life. And I tried to calm him down and it was awful. And we're seeing it everywhere. It, no matter where you are, it seems to be rife. Everybody is filled with this God complex. Like, if you're not wearing, I was sat down in the Sierra Nevada, and there was a little girl who screamed at anger at her father to put his mask on because he forgot to put it on. Wow. The children are actually screaming at their parents because they can feel power within this.
And they're terrified. Don't forget, they are terrified children. I mean, they've scared the wits out of children, haven't they?
Exactly. And now that's what I'm saying. The terrifying energy turns into anger, Richie. Yeah. So you put fear into somebody. Fear creates anger, and anger is infectious. So the world has become anger infectious. It's more of a disease than what they're claiming the disease is. We are now living in anger. Everybody is living in anger around us. So we have to be smart. We have to be strong. We have to stand back and we have to say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to buy into this, and I'm going to live my life the way I know I should live my life. And that is, I am not putting that mask on because my body tells me I need to breathe. If I put that mask on, I will start to get ill because a lack of oxygen, all of a sudden my body can't breathe, my body's struggling, and then the immune system kicks in, which means the immune system gets compromised because it's not acting as it should do as a normal day of breathing. So now my immune system is vulnerable. It makes sense. This is the biggest plandemic in the world. Whoever came up with this is an absolute genius, but a crazy genius, a mental genius, a satanic genius. This person or these people are on the dark side, and they do not care about humanity one bit at all.
This is, and yet you've told me over the years, and I know you believe it, that these forces can't really ever create anything. All they can do is destroy. You're not the only person who told me that, but you did tell me. David Icke used to tell me that over beers or wine after work many years ago. He would say, these forces, Richie, they're very good at destroying things, which you just pointed out there, but they can't create anything. Ultimately, when we care about people, and when we think about people, and when we do good things and do the right things for people, it overwhelms that negative energy and that darkness.
Absolutely.
And you still believe that, don't you?
Absolutely, 100%. And to be honest with you, my answer to that is, we create the chaos. If we buy into the lie and the manipulation and the fear, then we create it. You know, Summit Richie, I told a story the other day, which is really, really fascinating. And somebody said, why? Why is this happening? And I said to them, the only way I can explain is this. When I was a young boy, we all went to this camp as children with the school. And I remember dancing at maybe 8, 9 years old in the hall. And when we all finished dancing, it was amazing. We all went outside and it was slightly getting dark. Then all of a sudden, I start looking around. And all of a sudden, I start feeling really bad. I'm looking at all the children, all my friends, and they're all in tears. They're all crying. And I'm thinking, who's died? What's happened? And I ran over and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And one girl said, they found a man's severed head in the bin, and there's a man running around with an axe, with a long beard and a bald head. And the fear that came over me, you could not imagine. That fear, everybody felt that fear. Now, we all went to bed, and the teacher calmed us down, and we all went to bed. Many, many years later on, I happened to meet an old school friend, and I found out, as he was telling me the same story, he said, "Do you know what happened that night, Mark?" I said, "No." He said, "Some of the boys went into the teacher's bedroom and slept with him."
Jesus, Mark.
Think about that for a moment, guys, when you ask, why is this happening? Fear is only ever put out there if somebody wants to create something or have something or take something.
There's nothing more destructive. I'm not speaking from a spiritual point of view now, because I'm not at the moment, but even physically and emotionally, which I suppose is spiritual, there's nothing more destructive than fear, is there? There's nothing worse than it, than what it does to people and the people around them.
Absolutely. Fear is connected to the lowest vibration in the world. It causes destruction.
Yeah.
And like many people, soon as fear enters your body, you then go into a kind of automatic response to protect yourself. And therefore, the fear then turns into nobody else matters, only this self-protection, as animals maybe do that at times. They're protecting themselves. So that then causes a separation to everybody else. So you become separated because you are only concerned about survival. So if you can make every single soul in the world fear, you've created an amazing divide and conquer instantly. Instant divide and conquer. But more so, you've created an energy that then you can manipulate anybody, because when fear is in your body, you are so easily led and manipulated. It's like a guy coming and knocking on your door. "Hello, hi, how are you? I've just noticed that there's something wrong with your building." "Oh, well, who are you?" "Well, I'm an architect, I'm a builder, and I just noticed there's something very wrong with your building." "Really? Yeah, can I just come in and just have a look?" "Ooh, this looks bad. Look, I'm looking at this building. This building looks like it's ready to come down. Have you got children?" "Yes, I have." "You know what? If I were you, I'd be very careful, because this roof could come down at any minute." "Jesus, what do I do? Tell me what to do. What? Fix it, fix it. Do anything. Please help me." And this is where we are right now. We've got a system that's coming to your house through the TV and started telling you that there's something wrong with you, and you're going to die, and you've got an illness, and you need us. That is exactly what's happened.
And that's why, can I say that's why I remind myself every day not to be looking at people and doing what I do, because I do, I'm guilty of this. I look at them and in my mind, I call them collaborators in my mind, and I look upon them with contempt for collaborating. But I have to remember more often that God love them, it's not their fault. It isn't their fault. They didn't create this massive lie, this horrible hoax. They didn't. And they're susceptible to it. And okay, they are. And maybe I'm not, but I've had a bit of better luck. I've met better people along the road and I've learned one or two things. We need to give them a bit of a break, really. Looking at them as collaborators and becoming angry with them, it's not going to do us any good, really, is it, Mark?
Not one little bit. In fact, it's an absolute perfect chess game that is being played right now by these manipulators, these people who are behind the smoke, this screen, this one-way mirror. They know exactly what move we are going to make next. And they've already made that move and counteracted that move. 50 moves in front. They know exactly how you're going to feel psychologically. They know exactly what to do and how to manipulate your body, mind, and spirit. They will continue doing this and continue doing it. Now, once you know that, once you see what's happening and how they're doing it and why they're doing it, you actually stand back and you take a deep breath and you then start to try and find the answer to counteracting everything that they're doing. And everything that I thought about, everything that I've channeled and come to, the answer lies within you as an individual. And everybody is waiting for a superhero. Everybody is waiting for the answer to come to them. But this is where we are, 2021. You are your guru. You are your answer. And you have to accept that, because nobody's coming to your rescue. You have to be wiser and smarter. You have to learn to see what's going on, read between the lines. And once you're awake to all of that, you can start planning your life, because this world will change as it has every single year. And things change, and that's how it's meant to be. But my belief, my whole belief, and it's what I've said for 13, 16 years, you are your guru. No one has the power over you. Where you are right now is where you're supposed to be. And where you're going to be taken is exactly where you're going, which means that everything is as it should be. You have free will. What are you going to do? It is your choice. Do you believe in your power? Do you believe in your immune system? Are you looking after yourself? What are you doing to prepare? What are you doing to look towards the future and making a difference? You can either take advantage of this moment by being your own power, or you can wallow in self-pity and get ill and feel poorly. So the choice ultimately in the end is yours. What are you going to do, guys? Are you going to sit around doing no? Are you going to mope? What's that going to do? It's going to do nothing. You're just going to sit around and mope and that's it. And time goes on and you get ill and poorly and sick and people get sick of you. And it just comes to a point where you think, you know, I can't do this anymore. So I'd rather you all get up now and start doing stuff to make a difference. I don't want people to fight. I want people to be smart, to be wise, and start to look after their body so that the darkness cannot enter into you and make you feel bad. So you have to work on yourself. You've got to go out for a run. You've got to go into Mother Nature. You've got to eat more herbs. You've got to eat more roots. You've got to eat organic fruit and vegetables. You're going to have to start drinking pure water. And once you start doing that, you start becoming healthier, and then you start becoming smarter. And that's the first step towards changing your life and your world. You are your world, not the MSM and not the people around you crying, screaming. You are the one to change the world. Therefore, you are the lighthouse. The lighthouse shines a light for the rest of the world. And when everybody sees how bright you are, how strong you are, how younger looking you are, how powerful you are, they see that and think, okay, I need to change my way. By doing that, it's a ripple effect. And that ripple effect kills the darkness instantly, and that's what we have to work on now.
The what you said there about changing the diet, altering the diet, and getting out and having a run or a brisk walk in the, you know, even in the cold air, it's a beautiful thing. I run daily, maybe a bit more than I should do, but I do run daily. And this morning I feel alive when I'm out running. And you talked about the, as I said, the diet there. These aren't things that are going to cost anybody anything. They won't cost you anything. So you've got no reason not to try and make that change. And you might start to feel, I'm pretty sure you will, as Mark said, begin to feel brighter and breezier and happier and healthier. By the way, when you mentioned earlier on that it was a startling thing you said. You said earlier on that you were meeting people now, and because of everything that's happening and how it's affecting people, you said that people are beginning to look a bit older, a couple of years older. You said even their souls are aging. That really struck a chord with people. We've had a lot of tweets from people tonight who've said, oh yeah, I've, you know, noticed this as well, this change in people's physical appearance because of what's happening. I remember some years ago, not to bring him up again, I don't want to be bringing him up, but I said to David Icke, and I know I've heard you say this before yourself, I said there was somebody on television who'd done something unspeakable, and there was a video of Edward Heath taken shortly before he died, and he wasn't sick, or at least there wasn't any talk of him being sick, but he looked wrong, he didn't look right, he looked sinister and wrong and kind of creepy in that. And David Icke gave me this kind of long-winded thing, which David would do, which was funny, and I would take the piss out of him. But he said, Richie, he's manifesting as what he is. His physical appearance is changing because of the monster that this man is. And I look around at some of the politicians today, not all of them, but some of them, and some of these advisors, these lawyers who lie about COVID, Mark. They look twisted, these people, don't they? They look sick.
Well, they've sold the soul. They've sold their soul. Once you sell your soul, there's something in this. Once you've sold your soul, you lose the connection to the soul and to the truth and to healing and to love. You then are then connected to darkness, and darkness then ages you, and you can see it in the eyes. And there's a loss of a soul. So when you look into Tony Blair's eyes, you don't see a soul. You see soulless. When you look into these people's bodies' actions, you see something that is very, very wrong. The Bill Gates, if you look at him and see what he does. I mean, I've got a lot of friends all over the world because of my work, and I've inspired quite a few people to tell me truths that nobody else would do. And one of the truths that I heard, which is a really vital piece of truth that people should know, and this is normal truth, not BS, this is normal truth. There was a party going on not so long ago. In that party, there were a group of individuals who were from all walks of life. They were all famous, okay? They were all having a great time chatting, and they noticed one guy in a corner who was basically sat down, and anybody who went over to try and laugh and communicate and have a drink, he basically really ignored them and never really interacted at all. What they noticed through the night is that everybody was watching him because he was swaying back and forth. Imagine swaying back and forth.
Yeah.
That's it, just swaying back and forth. Everybody found that really bizarre. That man I talk about is Bill Gates.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things that I hear, and these things are genuine, they're true. And you start to understand the whole truth of dark energy. And I'll give you a for instance. And this might sound awful, but it is the truth. When you grow up, if you hold on to pain and anger, if you turn into bitterness because you may have been bullied at school, if you've turned into somebody who hates anybody who is better than you, and you get jealous and angry and bitter, if you hold on to that energy, the physical body starts to bend forward. So your back and your shoulders start to go forward and you almost hunch. And that is an expression of holding on to darkness. You have so much weight on you that your body is showing itself, presenting itself as who you are and what you've done. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who is like that is holding on, but I'm saying that there is definite truths in that whatever energy you are allowing into your body that we call whether rage, whatever those things are, or whether you get angry, or whether you kill somebody, or whether you see that physically manifesting in a body, and anyone can see it if they're willing to see. But the problem we have now is that money and wealth has turned into power, and people do not look at the truth within somebody and their actions and their words and their eyes and their body. They bypass that and see a god because they've been brainwashed to believe that money is the root of all power
and happiness. Yeah. And it isn't. Mark, we're just about out of time. I'll give you the final word, as I always do. Before I do that, thanks for coming back on the programme today and sharing that with us, particularly that very, very important information about the vaccine. I know you've got to be very careful about what you say and the impact it might have on people's ability to connect with healers and healing. Mark is the founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. To find out more about that, go to markbyerski.com. Please do. And he's on YouTube as well. Hundreds of thousands of followers on there. With he uploads regularly, daily, terrific, inspirational and uplifting videos, messages of healing and meditation. I recommend you check it out. He's loved in this household, I can tell you that. And he's been very good and very kind to people whom are very close to me. And he's done that for many years and never asked for anything in return. Thanks for coming back. Final word to you and to the universe, to Mother Earth, to God. Next time you come back on, there'll have been some change and we'll have seen some positive shift and some real resistance, but some peaceful and proper resistance to this craziness that we're enduring at the moment. Thanks again. Final word to you, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Richard. I first of all, to everybody out there, I love you all. You're my brother and sister. It was a heavy heart to share this information because I'm more of an uplifting, positive person. But you have to call it out when you see something wrong. There are many healers out there who get very disheartened with me because the information I am sharing now deems to be negative. But I ask you to take that information, utilize it, and use it well in a positive way. So I have to share my truth, whether it deemed dark or negative. It wasn't meant. It was filled with love and light and transparency. I would never in my day hurt or want to cause fear in anybody's heart. If I save one person today from something that they regretted, then I did my job. And lastly, I have over 1,000 free videos for whatever feeling you're feeling now on YouTube that you just go to and type in the top bar, search bar, whatever feeling it is, depression, anger, suicide, and there is a way out of everything. And finally, no one has the power over you. Repeat that as many times as you can on a chair, put your hand on your head and say it. No one has the power over me. And mean it. And once you realize that, you'll awaken your greatest power. And thank you, Richard. And if anybody out there has a few pounds, a few euros, please, guys, let's support our channel, The Richie Allen Radio Show. And if you've got something from this today and you feel it was vital and it was good information, then please show Richie that work and effort he puts into this every day with every single person who comes onto this show. Let us give him back. Let us support this man and let's support our radio station. And let's give him a little bit of money to help him continue, because we would be lost without this show. I would be lost without this show. And I know the world would be. So thank you, Richie, for keep going like you do.
You're very kind, mate. You're very kind. You didn't have to say that. I appreciate it. Godspeed to you there. And well, we're in touch all the time anyway. And I look forward to you coming back on again real soon. Cheers, Mark. All the best for now.
I love you all. Bye, Richard.
Bye, Mark. The great Mark Bajerski, great friend of mine, live on the Richie Allen Radio Show for Thursday, January 7th. Do check out markbajerski.com. And as Mark said, go to the YouTube channel. A lot of very important information there. Thousands of videos, as he said, healing information, meditation information, and it's not going to cost you anything. That's Mark Bajerski on YouTube. That's it for today. I've gone over. No big deal. No big deal, but there is something I wanted to say to you before I go. Now, from next week, I'm not going to be live with you tomorrow afternoon. I know that's going to piss off one or two of you, but I'll explain why. Two things. One, I've got some articles to write for the Richie Allen radio, the Richie Allen website for when it goes live early next week. I've got quite a bit to do for it. I've not just got to write some articles, but I've also got to write some scripts and descriptions and other bits and pieces. I've got to do that. Later on in the afternoon, I've also agreed to do a radio programme with our friend Maria Heller. So I'm up to my eyes tomorrow. From next week, this is my first week back after the holiday. From next week, it's back to normal. From next week, it's back to normal. Monday to Friday. Monday to Thursday at 5 o'clock, the proper Richie Allen Show. And then Friday, a drive time programme that I'll be doing from now on in. But you won't be hearing from me live on this platform tomorrow, because I'm doing the website and I'm going to do a thing with Maria Heller. But back to normal from Monday. It'll be Monday to Friday. Okay, do you understand that? Good. I really appreciate that. Thanks a million to Piers Corbyn. Delighted that Piers was eventually able to come on the programme today. I love Piers Corbyn. Do go to stopnewnormal.net and find out more about what Piers and his colleagues are doing to try and bring an end to this madness. And once again, thanks to Mark Boyerski as well. Really appreciate Mark more than I can say. I've been Richie Allen. This is the end of the Richie Allen Show for this week, the last show of the week. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Until next week, it's bye from me. Take care of yourselves. Bye now.